Isaiah chapter number 24. Isaiah chapter number 24. We had designed to read about the first 15 verses of this 24th chapter. But I think instead we will just begin tonight by reading verse number 15, and then we'll talk a little bit about the context of what's going on here in Isaiah chapter number 24. If we titled this morning's message, Wisdom's Walk in the Evil Day, we would title our thoughts tonight, Wisdom's Walk in the Fires of Life. Isaiah 24:15 says, Wherefore, glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea. This passage, the verses before it at least, describe for us a time of desolation. They describe for us a time when only a small remnant is left of those that love and serve the Lord. They are likened unto the grapes that are left after harvest. They are likened unto, just a small remnant or small gleaning that is left behind after a harvest time. We see from this passage of Scripture that they are, along with the rest of society, feeling the effects of God's judgment and God's bringing His wrath upon man for sin. As you read this passage, it's not specific as to tell us when this is spoken about. Could it be some experiences in Israel's history at different times when they were taken into captivity or when they were, conquered or held captive and different things like that? It certainly could. Could also point, of course, to the future and things to come. We've been studying on Wednesday nights in the tribulation period. But it talks in verse number 5 about the earth being defiled. Talks about it, let's just read verse 5. It says, The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth. They that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. We see evidence here that God is certainly serious about sin. He is serious about bringing judgment for sin upon man. And we're not going to get too specific to point this to one particular point in time to say it's future or to say it was a particular event in Israel's history. But the overall understanding we want to take from this context is that God's people, along with the people of the earth, were suffering because of God's chosen course of action. They were suffering because of the sin that had been present upon the earth, and they were feeling the effects of God's chosen course. And as I read this passage and it was brought to our attention this week, it really just fit to what we are experiencing in this life today. While the particulars may be different, we find ourselves feeling the effects of God's chosen course of action for this period of time. He is allowing sin, as we talked about this morning, to seemingly go unchecked. He is allowing many things that we never thought we would see, and we don't want to get back into all of that. But we can identify with the fact that we are feeling the effects of all of that, much like the world is. The effects of sin, the effects of the curse upon this world that we live in today. We also see in this passage that tells us that there were but few left. Few of God's people. And we can identify with that as well today. There are but few of God's people left, it seems, in this world. Oh, there are many that claim religion. And there are many that claim Christianity. But yet there are few that are truly born again, truly a child of God in this life that we are in today, this point of history with all this talk about the destruction, devastation, with all this talk about the difficulty, you can even see in verse number 7, it says, the new wine mourneth, the vine languisheth, all the merry-hearted do sigh. The mirth of tablets cease, the noise of them that rejoice endeth, the joy of the harp ceaseth. We see that even the joy is gone from many people. Again, we can relate to such a thing. And with all this talk about judgment and difficulty, with all this talk about what we might say doom and gloom that is being presented in this passage of Scripture, we get down to verse number 15, and God says to His people, glorify Me in the midst of the fires. Glorify Me in the midst of the difficulty. Glorify Me in the midst of those things that are transpiring in your life, in society, and in history at this point. Glorify Me in the midst of all of that. And we are reminded that we are able to glorify the Lord independent of whatever situation we find ourselves in. So even though we are in the midst of sin, as we talked this morning, even though we are in the midst of a society that seems to be quickly unraveling, though we seem to be in a mess in so many ways, we need to glorify the Lord in the midst of the fires that burn around us. And we have that ability. We need to walk in wisdom, glorifying the Lord in the fires that burn round about us. And I think we all can recognize the likeness that our society bears to some of the things that are being said here. But it got me to thinking about the fires that we have burning in our society, in our lives today, that we have no control over, that we have no ability to stop, that we have no ability to say, hey, society, quit that, and they would quit it. Things that we do not have control over, and we are feeling the effects of the fire. We are experiencing being put in the furnace, so to speak. And we all would agree, we don't like that. We don't want to be in the fire. We don't want to be in the furnace. We don't want to have that experience of being thrust therein. But yet, that is where we find ourselves today. What are we to do? Are we to quit? Are we to lay aside our calling? Are we to lay aside our commission as a church? Are we to lay aside what God has placed upon our heart to do? Are we to cease being the pillar and ground of the truth because the fires rage and burn? Now the Lord here says, glorify Me in the midst of them, even though they are here, even though they are present. And the same is true for us today. We could probably mention many. We have three to think about this evening. The first fire that burns in our land and burns in our lives today, in our experiences, in our day-to-day walk, that we need to be aware of, and that we need to be glorifying the Lord in the midst of, are the fires of apostasy. The fires of apostasy. What does that word mean? The word apostasy means to forsake the truth. It means to turn back. It means to run away from that which is right, and that which is good, and that which is truth, and turn back to the things that are wrong in an error. Turn with me first to Hebrews chapter number 10. We need to beware the fires of apostasy that are raging around us today. The Bible warns us that as the last days continue, the love of many will wax cold. Now, that is something that will find its ultimate height or fulfillment in the tribulation period. That's Matthew 26. But we know that all of those conditions predate or pre-exist the beginning of the tribulation, and they lead up. They get worse the closer we get. And we see that getting worse. There is a coldness today in America, in our society, even in the hearts and lives of the people that claim to be God's, for truth. To stand for that which is right. They would rather abandon or go in the opposite direction of that which is truth. Notice with me here, Hebrews chapter number 10. Notice here, verse number 35. Says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Here he talks about those that draw back from the truth, draw back from the faith, draw back from the Word of God and believing, practicing those things that we have had delivered to us. He says, don't do that. He says, we are not of that kind of people. We are not of those that draw back away, that give up, that go backwards. That's not us. That's not our identity. That's not our character. That's not our walk, as we talked about this morning. But he says, instead, we are of those that believe. We are of those that believe, that trust, that understand what the will of the Lord is. You noticed he mentioned that a few verses earlier. Verse 36, after you have done the will of the Lord, with patience wait on its reward. Christ is coming, he says. Christ is coming. Don't fall away during this time. And he's laying out perfectly for where we are in this life. I mean, we spend our lives hopefully as the children of God in His will, seeking His will, desiring His will. And here he says, after you have done that will, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't think it's not worth it. Don't go backwards away from it. But stay right there in the will of God because Christ is coming. Christ is coming. Don't give up on the truth. The fires of apostasy or abandoning the Word of God and the truth of Scripture are raging all around us. We are pressured on every side today to quit. Not necessarily to give up entirely on religion. Not necessarily to turn into an atheist, though that pressure is there too. But we are pressured to give up our convictions. We are pressured to give up on the truth. We are pressured to join the other side, so to speak. You know, they'll say, well, why don't you just believe like we do? Why don't you just practice like we do? Why don't you just do what we do? It's easier. It's better. It's fill in the blank. You know, they say so many things. You know, and so we are facing that fire every single day. For some, it may be more obvious. For some, it may be less. But it is, no doubt, still real. Every time someone makes a negative comment or someone looks down their nose at who we are and what we believe, every time somebody says, well, that's all right for you, but here's what we do and this is why it's better. I mean, that's what they're doing. We get stuff in the mail. It is amazing. It's amazing. Should save it one year and just pile it up. At the stuff that other churches and ministries and colleges and all that stuff send in the name of religion to try to get us to join their program, to join their lessons, to buy into their ministry. All in hopes, of course, that we will abandon what we believe and embrace what they do. That's the raging of the fires of apostasy, and people are falling by the wayside. People are giving up and saying, it's not worth it anymore. The pressure is too great. The fire is too hot. I can't stand it anymore. I'm going back. As this verse says in Hebrews 10, I'm going back. Going back. We are not of those that go back. Let us keep that in mind. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. We find so many different strange and different doctrines that are out there today. We are reminded in Hebrews 13 and verse number 8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if it has ever been true, it has always been true, and it will always be true. And we don't need to change. We don't need to go back. We don't need to abandon. We don't need to adjust. We don't need to rewrite the Scriptures. We don't need to rewrite the things that we believe. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in verse 9, he says, "Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines." Don't be influenced by those that are saying, "Oh, well, we found this over in a cave in Israel, and it means that there was another gospel, the gospel of Judas, and it proves that Christ was a homosexual, and it proves that these things are we've always believed are not true." You know, people are influenced by those things. Some people will give up the things they believe for it, and if they give those things up, they never really believed them anyway. The fires of apostasy are all around us. We cannot give up. It goes on here in verse 9 to say, "For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." Established with grace, not with the physical things of life, not with those things that would tempt us to quit, but established by grace. Ephesians says, "Don't be blown about by every wind of doctrine." 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 talks about how that in the last days, you know, when these things unfold, that he talked about in chapter 3, he goes on to say, "Preach to them sound doctrine, Timothy, for they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They will want to hear certain things, and they will seek it out, and they will find it. And then they will leave the truth, they will leave what they've always believed, or at least expressed they believed, and they will go to those things. Don't ask for the smooth things like those in Jeremiah's day did. But ask instead to be fed completely from God's Word and to be established by grace in what we believe so that we can glorify God in the fires of apostasy." And it won't get any easier. It's only going to get harder. It's only going to get harder from here on out. It will get harder as the religions of the world continue to come together. As they continue to join forces, as the doctrinal barriers continue to fall by the wayside, it will get harder. It will get harder. And I think it'll get harder first on our individual lives, when our family pressures us, when our friends or our bosses or our spouses, whoever it is, pressures us. Say, "It's not worth it anymore. Just give up. Just give up." The fires of apostasy, we need to glorify the Lord in these fires. And the way we do that is that we continue to walk faithful, being the pillar and ground of the truth. Proverbs 23:23 says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." That's sound wisdom. That's instruction. He's saying, don't get rid of it. Don't give it up for anything in this life, including your own life. And we'll get to that in a minute. Secondly, this evening, we're thinking about the fires that we are to glorify the Lord in today, that we have no control over, that we are not able to cause to end or begin or anything in our life, are the fires of trial. The fires of trial. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 12. Remember this morning how we were talking about walking in wisdom means that when we go into the world, we expect certain things. We know that in order to witness, be a testimony, we're going to get dirty. We know we're going to see things, hear things, experience things that they're not sinful on our part in that we did them, but they cause us to be dirty. They cause us to hear things and see things and experience things we really didn't want to. Let's understand that. Let's expect that. Don't think it's strange when it happens. And what does Peter say here in verse 12? "Beloved, Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Don't think it strange today that we are called to glorify the Lord in the fires of trial and affliction. God's people always have been called to do so. We've always been called to do so. At times it has been worse than others in our lives. But these fiery trials and afflictions come upon us in many seasons. Storms that do rage against us. Difficulties that we do face. Sicknesses that come on. Things that we didn't expect. Things that we had no control over that are happening in our life. We are to glorify God in the midst of the fires of trial. And the only way that we can do that, the only way that we can do that is to walk in wisdom. Remember we said this morning that wisdom is the application of scriptural knowledge to know how to live in this present evil world. And so when we face the storms of life that do rage against us, that do cause us difficulty and overwhelm us, and that many times leave us not knowing which end is up, we need to have the wisdom to apply the knowledge of, say, as we threw out this morning, Romans 8:28. We need ourselves to be able to know what that verse says, but also then have the wisdom to apply it to our situation. Knowing, it doesn't mean we're going to understand the why. Doesn't mean we're going to understand how long it's going to last. That we're not going to understand necessarily even how it benefits us at the time. But we know that it does and it will, and God's plan is always perfect. And that wisdom or application of knowledge will help us glorify God in the trials of life that we face. Maybe as minor as, sickness that enters into you and leaves quickly. It may be as major as the death of a loved one or some other kind of tragedy that strikes in life. Anything in between, from economic, social, emotional difficulties, those storms come. We are called to glorify God in the midst of them. And as we're in the middle of them, we are experiencing exactly what was described in Isaiah 24. We feel like that. We feel, hey, this isn't fair. I'm one of God's. Why am I suffering like everybody else? Why is there no mirth? Why is there no joy? Why is there no happiness? Why do I have to feel this way? And we're not going to probably get the answers to those things. And God doesn't owe us any explanations. What we're called to do is glorify Him in those times. And it's not easy. We know that. It's called to give thanks in those times. That's not easy. And we know that. But we are called to glorify God in the midst of the fire of trial. We will be in the furnace of God's refining. As He tests our faith. As He molds us and shapes us, removing the dross that collects on top and continues that refining process. It's not pleasant to be in the furnace. But it's necessary for us to experience it. James 1 says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or trials and afflictions. Count it joy. How can we do that? We can only do that through wisdom's walk. And as we do that, I guarantee you, you see somebody that counts it all joy when they fall into divers temptations, I guarantee you that they are glorifying God in the midst of the fire. You'll see it in them and experience it as they evidence it in their life. Oh, how we need to think about glorifying God. And so many times, all we're worried about is getting out of the fire. Oh, I want this to stop. I don't want to be concerned with the fires of apostasy. I don't want to be concerned about the fires of affliction or trial. Let these things be done. Get me out of here. What we ought to be concerned about is glorifying God in them as they do transpire and happen. Because that's what God has chosen for our lives even as that was the truth there in Isaiah 24. And then thirdly, tonight, turn with me to Daniel chapter 3. As we consider fires and are glorifying God in them, my mind was immediately brought to the fires of persecution. And of course, as I considered the fires of persecution, which is different from trials and affliction, those are things that sort of naturally come upon us, that through providence or God's hand of working in our life, they are allowed to be brought in. But when we talk about persecution, we're talking about suffering for our faith. We're talking about being put in the position of choosing comfort in life or, in God, or choosing death or discomfort, imprisonment, whatever it may be. That's persecution. And even in that fire, and let us not think that it is not raging today. It is. It doesn't often maybe affect us where we live today, not at least in the strictest of senses, but it is present in this world. There are some people that are dying, and at least as it is reported, they're dying in the name of Christ. Who knows if they're saved or not? Who knows if they're really His? They sort of evidence that by the things that they do. But it is present in this world today. And the longer that this world goes on, the more likely it is that we are going to be called upon to glorify the Lord in the midst of the fiery furnace of persecution. And that's where we find ourselves here in Daniel 3. I couldn't help but think about these Hebrew children. Oh, how I love to read this passage and think about these men, their courage, their faith, their conviction, their a desire to glorify God above all else. And we read here in their story, Daniel chapter 3, verse number 11, the command came out, and whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. So here there is a fiery furnace already mentioned. It will become the furnace of persecution. The choice to be made was bow down to this idol that has been created or die. That's it. Bow down or be cast into the fire and die. And we are introduced here in verse number 12 to what we commonly refer to the Hebrew children, three Hebrew children. They were men. We notice here there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They made their choice. They made their choice and they chose. They chose God over pleasing man. They chose God and said, I will suffer the fiery furnace instead of giving in and worshiping this idol. Of course, it makes Nebuchadnezzar mad, we know. We know that he gives them another opportunity, another chance to bow down, to correct the mistake that he believes that they have made. In fact, it's another time when they have to answer again. It wasn't just once that they had to say, no, we'll suffer, we'll die. But again, they have to say the same, and this time to the king's face. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Basically, these men said, we will glorify God in the fire. We will glorify Him there. Instead of cowering here in front of you and disappointing and forsaking and blaspheming our God. We will rather die. And in that death, we will glorify God in the midst of that fire. Do we have the temerity to make that choice? Do we have the conviction? Do we have that ability to glorify God in the midst of the fires of persecution? For us, it may not be a fiery furnace like it was for them. It might be something else. But yet, we know that these things happen to them. They will happen to us as they have also to our brethren down through the years. They were able, these men were able in a moment of intense persecution to apply their knowledge of God and of the Scriptures to their present situation and choose to do right. If that's not wisdom, I don't know what is. Sometimes we kind of look at situations like this and we say, well, this was supernatural faith, or this was supernatural situation, and we couldn't hope to do this. No, what it was is that they had been taught, they understood the Word of God, they had knowledge of it, they believed it. And then God gave them wisdom to apply what they knew to be true. And they said, we'll go into the fire and we will glorify God there. They believed that if their bodies were burned up in that fire, they would glorify God in that activity. And they would have. But how they ended up glorifying God was far better than they could have ever imagined. And so it could be with us as well. But we first must show that wisdom. We know that they met Jesus Christ in the midst of this fire. The fire of persecution burned upon their bodies, but it had no effect. The fire and the heat and the smoke, it had no effect upon their bodies, upon their clothing. It was so hot that it consumed the men that bound them and threw them in, but not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Not them. They weren't afraid to go. They wanted to glorify God in the midst of the fire. And you know what? That's exactly what they did. It may not be pleasant for us to go into the fire, but we need to be prepared for this eventuality. It will come. It will come. Do we have what it takes to glorify God in the midst of the fires of persecution that rage now and will just get more intense, will spread even further and further, and will be upon us before we know it? But I tell you what, if you haven't prayed for wisdom, if you haven't asked God to enable us to apply what we know, if you haven't had that a thought and process and preparedness and asked God for that, I really don't know how it's going to go. We need to be asking God for wisdom so that when the time comes, not that we'll know what is right. These men knew what was right. But that we'll have the wisdom to choose and the courage to follow through with that which is right. And that persecution can be on a small scale by people voicing their displeasure at how you live your life and exhibit your faith, pressure they put on you to change. The choices that you make, I mean, you know, the things you do, you tell people, you know, you're pastor of a church or you belong to a church like ours, and they think certain things. You tell them how we do things or how we don't do things, and again, they have their comments. And they don't like it all the time, and so those are, you know, the beginnings of some persecutions. But the fires are going to rage. They're raging all around us in these three main or big ways. The fires of apostasy, of trial, and of persecution. God hasn't called us to wilt in the fire. He hasn't called us to be afraid of it. But in wisdom's walk, we need to be concerned with glorifying God in the midst of the fires all around us. And that's, again, shows us the importance of walking in wisdom today. Don't hide your head in the sand. That does nobody any good. It doesn't help you. It doesn't help your spouse, your family. It doesn't help those that you influence or have part of your life. It doesn't help anybody if you stick your head in the sand and say, you know, these things aren't so. But realize it. Understand what's going on. And say, even if it hurts, I'm going to glorify God in the midst of these fires that are raging in my life and in my society or the place where God has put me. Be committed to that tonight. And I pray that we would encourage each other to remain committed, that you would pray for me, that I would pray for you, that we would all be committed to helping each other, to praying for each other, to strengthening each other to stand and to glorify God in this present environment. The one that's described there in Isaiah 24, it wasn't very pleasant. And we certainly find ourselves living in unpleasant times spiritually. And I pray that we will understand the need to walk in wisdom today towards those that are without, against, or including the fires that do rage. We have to be aware of today. Pray that that would be the case. Let's stand. We'll be just, Brother Mike.